Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Resurrection Sunday. Wow, this is a great day of the year. Some people think that Christmas is the greatest day of the year, especially kids. But this is a great day of the year because it celebrates the resurrection. He who was dead is now alive forevermore. And we're going to get into that this morning as we talk about Resurrection Sunday. He has risen. Seven reasons why it was necessary that he raise up from the dead. But before he does, before we go there, how's that for a segue, a bumbling segue? Many of you have already noticed this. I think everybody has noticed this. And this has not simply appeared here overnight. This has been a process of work over weeks and weeks. And so I'd like for Patty Zimmerman to come up here. I'm not going to ask her to say anything. Patty is just wonderfully talented in art and creativity. And months ago, I came to her and I said, here's the idea. I've been in Jerusalem and I've been in the British Protectorate Garden Tomb. We're not positive exactly sure, but it's a great representation of a first century garden and a first century tomb. Here's some pictures. Now, our sanctuary is not big enough to recreate this to life scale, but could we do something like that? And she has been invested for weeks and weeks and weeks in trying this and trying that and working on this and redoing that and trying different colors. Her and her daughter Abby has helped her. And now after all of those weeks, we finally went, that's it. And now you see the finished product. Would you let Patty know you appreciate the hours and hours and hours and hours of work? And so we just wanted to connect the dots for you. There's going to be more coming. And this was neat. After this, I'm thinking, Patty's going to start praying, Lord, never let Pastor ever again get inspired and talk to me. In Jesus' name, amen. But her daughter said, I'm ready to do more. Because they've figured out now, they've done all the learning curve. They've worked hard and they've learned a new skill, and artists love to do that, press past that. And so now we're going to be engaging to do some other stuff up here on the platform. And so we've begun here, and there it is this morning. I think that's a good word, Steve. It ought to stay there all the time because we need to be reminded that there's this tomb, but it's empty. It's empty. We might not ever get to go visit in Israel again. Who knows? Before Jesus comes back. Now, then we will. I think it'll be radically transformed. Maybe he'll preserve the garden tomb. I don't know. That's his job, what he wants to do. But this will, when you look at this, say it's to scale, but it's representative of what people see when they go into the garden tomb outside the outskirts of Jerusalem. And so I think it'll be special to us. I know it's special to me. And I thank you for your investment. This is just a down payment of some things we have for you. But I wanted to give you that thank you. And there's some loot cards in there. But there's more loot cards. And Tuesday night, you'll be getting some more loot cards to Hobby Lobby. To Hobby Lobby. One more time, would you just let her know you appreciate her? Thank you, Patty. Bless you. And tell Abby thanks for us, too. And Annabelle helped as well. Annabelle Wilson. Yeah. So, and then David Wilson and I put up a stone wall yesterday. Now, it's amazing. It's actually styrofoam. So those of you that are wondering, how did they put that thick sheet of limestone rock on the wall? It's styrofoam. So I will ask that you please don't go poke it. Because finger poking will remain, unlike limestone walls. Resurrection Sunday, he has risen. Looking around the room, it's so good to see so many faces. Some of you are in town visiting friends and family. Others of you are starting to come back after the COVID. It's been a year or so that we've been walking through this COVID deal. It's good to look back and see our neighbor. I think I saw Dr. Crabtree and his wife, right, with us. Yeah, let them know that you're glad they're here. Right next door, we have the deal. He works on the physical eyes. If they need spiritual eye help, they come here. Division Church. And we're just a team over here in Lake Worth. We're so good to have. And the rest of you that have slipped in, I think I saw some of the Sullins family that has come in from back east in Pennsylvania, right? Eastern Pennsylvania, if I have it right. Over there, Harrisburg, north of Philly, somewhere over in there. They've made the journey in. And others that are just right here in the neighborhood, it's good to see the Rollins filling in the chairs. It's good to have you. So everybody, family. And Samantha Sanders. Does the biker church, you know you're not there this morning? Nope, they have no idea. You slipped away. So, all right. And so this is just, I just love that feeling of getting together. And, you know, I thought it was just really special. And Vivian may be watching, and I just wanted to give a shout out to Vivian. Last night I just had the most precious dream where I was visiting with Jim Logan. Wow. Jim would just love this. Maybe every once in a while he gets to go look through a window and see what's going on. But I just thought that was so precious. So Vivian, if you're watching, the Lord just gifted me last night with an opportunity to visit with my longtime friend and brother that we're getting looking forward to be with Jesus. But we're looking for that renewal of acquaintance too, aren't we? And so I just thought that was amazing. There's a hope in the resurrection. Death is not final. Jesus has proven that this morning, and we're looking at Resurrection Sunday. Now, some people get a little bit confused when it comes to resurrection, and there's a difference between resuscitation and resurrection. There is a difference. It is possible to code on the operating table and then be resuscitated. That is not a resurrection. To be resuscitated is something that happens when it's reasonable that someone's heart can be restarted, their blood can be returned to flowing. And we've heard those wonderful miracles of resuscitation. When people have fallen through the ice, that was happened at Lake St. Louis, and a young man that was part of an Assemblies of God church there, and a movie was made about a tremendous healing miracle that occurred in his life, which was a resuscitation. But we're talking this morning about resurrection. There are people who are tempted to say, well, his body was stolen. Those sneaky disciples, they came and they snuck in there, were able to get a tomb open and hijack a body, all while a guardianship of Roman soldiers who were charged with guarding that area, and if they failed, they would give their lives. That somehow this ragtag group of Galilean fishermen, a tax collector and some odd other people, were going to go in there and pull one over on the Roman guard and get a body. In fact, they positioned a guard because that fear was already in the minds of the religious leadership. There's those others that want to say, well, he swooned. In other words, he played possum. Now, after a flogging of 39 stripes with glass, metal, and stone, that huge blood loss, piercing the wrist, piercing the feet, a Roman soldier takes a spear, puts it into the pericardial sac of the heart and through the heart muscle, releasing water and blood separated, which was proof of death. That after losing all of his bodily fluids through thirst, through perspiration, and through blood loss, so every last drop of blood left his body, he was laid in the cool of a tomb. And over the period of the next 3 days, he came back to life. He merely swooned and came back to life. You know what? That requires far more faith. That is against every principle of physical reality and medical science. But there are those that don't like the idea of the resurrection, and they much more prefer it if Jesus simply swooned and then recovered in the tomb. Then, how about this one? Well, Jesus is actually a spirit who comes and comes upon this man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And so upon the cross, before he went to the cross, the Christ spirit left. And later the Christ spirit returned, and it was not material, but merely a spirit or a ghost. But then we hear Jesus himself say to Thomas, do ghosts have flesh and blood? Handle me. Put your arms around me, Thomas. Interact with me physically. No, that's not the answer. Now, a couple years ago, I had the opportunity. In fact, I've been twice to the land of Israel. And very near the crossroads of the world, there is a paved highway now that leads to Megiddo, which was the guardian city, the tower, the fortress, well equipped to defend the crossroads of the world. One was a road that went across to the sea, the other one north and south between Damascus, Syria, and the south. This was the most important highway, and many battles had been fought around here. I thought that was unique that as we drove up this modern highway, what do you see right beside the guardrail? A tomb with a stone, and it happens to be rolled away. Now, that's not to be confused with the tomb of Jesus, but I think it was a wonderful testimony in northern Galilee. There is a tomb, and there's no body in it. The stone has been rolled away. Here's another picture that I was able to capture. In fact, I think we might have stopped and then went, no, we didn't, because there's not a guardrail there. We found another location with a tomb beside the road, and we were able to get out and get up close and personal and take another picture. That gives you a picture of what that would have looked like in the day of Jesus. And how about the inside view, looking from inside to outside? They would carve out this cave or find an already existing cave and refurbish it and use it as the family crypt. The body would be laid on that ledge. It had been wrapped with winding cloths, with aloe and cinnamon and other spices. They did not practice embalming. And then after the body broke down to simply bone, the bones were gathered up, placed in an ossuary, a bone box, which was as wide as the hips and as long as the femur, the longest bone in the human body. And then they would be put in that. Their name would have been engraved upon the box, and it would have been set on the shelf. That'll help you when you read in the scriptures, especially the Old Testament. And he was gathered to his fathers. That was the picture there. Gathered, put in a bone box, and put on a shelf. And by the way, in hope of resurrection. In hope of resurrection. So why resurrection? I'm glad you asked that question. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, he, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins. Jesus died for your sin and my sin. The cross, as we see it here and as we see it here, the rough-hewn timbers spoke of an unspeakably painful and horrible death where a man who was guilty would die for his sins. But Jesus was delivered over to death. Why was he delivered over to death? Because he himself was not worthy of death. He who was innocent, he who knew he did nothing wrong, he who had this testimony, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. He becomes the Lamb of God. We sang that this morning. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. It's a play on the words of the son of Zechariah, John. We know him as John the Baptist. When he says, because God gave him an understanding of it, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And he had to be spotless. He had to be without blemish. He had to himself be innocent and innocent before God. So now we have a conundrum. Now we're in quite a pickle. We have an innocent man dying for me. I'm the one who deserves to die. May I say, you're the one who deserves to die. Your sins are enough and sufficient to require your death. But now we have a problem, and that is you don't know how to defeat death. It's a one-way ticket. We know that everybody dies, and then comes the judgment. But Jesus came to change all that. He came to step in and be delivered over to death for our sins, and listen to the rest of it, and was raised to life. Why is the tomb open? Why was he raised to new life or resurrected? Why is he who was dead now brought to life for our justification? Now, some of you are sitting there saying, wonderful, I'm getting the idea, but still, what does it mean to be justified? Here's an easy way to remember it. Just as if I never sinned. Just as if I never sinned. It's a highly legal idea, and it's the idea of God forgiving you your sins and separating them from you. And when that happens, you are now justified. Why was he raised from the dead? Because the soul that sins shall die. The soul that sins shall die. The problem is Jesus didn't sin, we did. So he himself became liable to our death. And then what did God do? Raised him up from the dead. He did not swoon. His body was not stolen. He was physically raised up to new life by God, the creator of all that is. He was raised up. Give the Lord a hand clap. It's very simple. He is risen because payment is accepted in full. I'm with Pastor Steve. Everybody thinks that the universal symbol of Christianity is the cross. It is a symbol of covenant, and it is important. But the new disciples were not as focused upon the death. And Jesus said, every time you take the cup and eat the bread and drink the cup, you show my death till I come. But when you live the new life that Jesus has given you, you are living as a testimony of his resurrection power. It's a two-part thing. It's not only that somebody has died for your sins, but that somebody has raised up from and now there's an empty tomb where one time his body was laid there because he has been raised up from the dead. It's proof of the payment for your sin on the cross. God has raised him up, and we have a great hope in that. Give the Lord another hand clap. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. As you read the earlier parts of the book of Acts, you're intersecting with the new disciples. And they have a gospel to proclaim. They're excited about something. Something has happened that took them from the doom and gloom and loss of the crucifixion to the rejoicing and new life of the resurrection. But God, they said, raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. I like that. Jesus had to submit to death. Why? Because death wasn't strong enough to take life over. Jesus had to lay down his life. In fact, he would say, no man takes my life from me. I give it. I offer it. That's why it uses that term, he was delivered over to death. He is risen because life always beats death. Light always shatters darkness. Now, here's an experiment you can do at home. It's dark at night. You go into a room. Let's assume that the light bulb works and you paid the light bill. And as you walk into that room, you flip the switch. Or for those of us that have something on our phone and we just press it and it comes on, some kind of remote. And what happens? It comes on. Now, when that light comes on, is there like half of the room shrouded in impenetrable darkness while the other half is lit? No. The entire room is illuminated with light. Why? Because darkness cannot stand in the presence of light. Light eliminates any sense of darkness. And you can't even turn on the brightest light and examine darkness. You have to remove the light in order to sense, see, and deal with the darkness. Life always beats death. Light always shatters darkness. Why was Jesus raised up from the grave? To show us that death cannot win. Death does not have the victory. Just this last year, we noticed and was part of our, some of us, some grief for a couple days as we realized that Carmen passed away. The news spread throughout the Christian world, and he had put together several videos and human videos and songs, and they were just captivating and creative and ingenious. And he depicts that resurrection when suddenly, rather than there being a count, now, when this, they're in the ring and they're fighting, It says that he drops his hands and Satan lands the final blow and he falls to the canvas. And then the referee steps in, and here's how it sounds in the referee ring. One, two, three, you're out. Almost sounds like baseball, doesn't it? The final count. But here's how he depicted it in his song. 10, 9, 8. It's a countdown to a launch. All of a sudden, it turns everything on its head, and it's characterized in the song. Those voices are saying, wait a minute, that's not right. You're supposed to be giving him the final count, not a countdown. And then finally, at one, the anticipation rises, the key changes, and Jesus raises up from that canvas, never to be defeated ever again. Give the Lord a hand clap. Life always beats death. Light always, always, always shatters darkness. God raised, and number three, God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. As God has said, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. And what was the promise that he made to him? That he wouldn't allow his body to see decay. Now, guess what is the limit? When does decay set in on the human body? After 3 days. Do you know what Jesus did one day when he came up from Bethabara across the Jordan? He heard that his friend Lazarus was sick unto death. He waits. Then the word comes that he's dead, and Jesus tells his disciples these words, he's just asleep. Finally, they're talking to him and talking to him, well, if he's sleeping, that's good. Sick people sleep, feel better. Jesus finally said, he's dead. You can almost see him. He's dead. So then they go back. So if he's dead, why are we going back? Because I'm on a mission. I'm the resurrection and the life. He comes to this man and here's the words he hears. But Lord, he's been in the grave for 4 days and he stinks. He stinks. The smell is starting to set in. You don't want to go near that tomb, and you certainly don't want to open it up. And Jesus says, hey, don't you know he's going to be raised up? And they answer, we know that'll happen in the last days at the resurrection. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And even though this man had been officially dead for 4 days, Jesus resuscitates him, gives him back his natural life. Lazarus is going to die later. The religious leaders were hoping they could kill him because now he has a walking billboard and a testimony that says after 4 days, this man was raised from the grave. Jesus walks in there and very specifically says, Lazarus, come forth. What would have happened if Jesus hadn't used his name? He would have emptied an entire graveyard. Just Lazarus. Reservations for one. Come back to life, Lazarus. He comes staggering out of that tomb, wrapped in those winding cloths that had been put on him 4 days before. And Jesus turns to some people and says, unwind those things and let him go. Jesus is accompanied by Lazarus into Jerusalem on his triumphal entry, and people are excited because they get to shake hands with and see this man who had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus had raised him up. Why? Because God is in the dead raising business, and Jesus needed to show people that they didn't have to wait. There was a hope that came because he is the resurrection and the life, and this is proof that the death and devil couldn't do anything against him. He was undefeatable, and there was a promise to keep. I'll not let you see decay. Jesus was in the grave 3 days and three nights. That's the limit. And after 3 days and nights, what happened? He was raised up physically and brought into the resurrection. He is risen to prove something, and it's this. God keeps his promises. Hello? Where do we struggle in our faith walk? God, did you really mean that? Is that really in your Bible? Did you really promise that to me? Is that really something I can bank on? I can place my life in? Yes, absolutely. He is risen from the dead. Why do we need to realize a physical resurrection and an open tomb? to prove something. God always keeps his promises. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. He is risen to prove that. Number four, Romans chapter 6, verse number 4 says this. We were therefore buried with him. When? Through baptism. When are we when we're baptized, what are we doing? Identifying with the death of Jesus. Identifying that we need to die to sin. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me and be my disciple, you need to come and die daily and take up your cross and follow me. What does that sound like? It sounds like this. Father, not my will, but yours be done. I don't want to live my agenda. I want to live God's agenda. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. But let me guarantee you something. There is a way that is right to God, that if you'll follow it, you'll never regret it. You'll walk into eternal life, and it will bring you a peace, a joy, and a contentment you could have never imagined because you are following his leadership. We're therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead. Now, how was he raised from the dead? Did he swoon, get up? No. Was he just spiritually resurrected? No. He was physically resurrected with a new body that cannot die. And let me add some other things. Doesn't get wrinkles. Liver spots. Sorry, Dr. Crabtree, but doesn't need eye doctors. There's coming a day. Not now. We need them now. Thank God for them now. We need the physical doctors now. We need the physical therapists now. We need the nurses and the doctors and professionals now and dentists. Amen? But there's coming a day when we get a new body. If our faith is in Christ, if we've been buried with him, we have this hope in us that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. A new life. Behold, old things pass away. All things become what? New. How many of you like that? Jesus is in the business of bringing a new life. That empty tomb is a proof. He is risen because God gives us new life. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. We'll go to number 5, fifth reason. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Wait a minute, what? Because of that cross, because of the stripes laid upon his back and the shedding of his blood, and because of the power of God that brings to new life and resurrects, we now have this idea that we can have healing. What had happened? Somebody had been touched by the power of God and had been paralyzed in his feet, and he was found walking and leaping and praising God in the temple. And what was his testimony? Peter had said, silver and gold we have none, but what we do have we'll give you. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, stand up and walk. We're not talking about a resurrection. We're talking about a healing. Because of the empty tomb and the power of God that has raised up. Now, follow me on this logic. If God can raise a man from the dead and give him a glorified body, can God repair a physical body that's been damaged? Yes, absolutely, he can. He's the great physician. He's the great creator. He says, this man stands before you healed. Why? Because God raised Jesus from the dead. That's how powerful that is. That's dynamite. That's great power. He is risen so that his grace may flow from his people, through his people, into the lives of people who need his grace. Because of that empty tomb and because of your faith placed in the risen Lord, this moves you into the wonderful position of ministry where the grace of God and your prayers link together, your faith comes together and can result in miracles in people's lives. Now, how many of you feel like a miracle worker? If you're not careful, you're sitting there saying, wait a minute, Jesus is the miracle worker. Oh, you forgot something. He said, I'm going to go away and another comforter is going to come and I need to go away. And another thing, oh, by the way, anything you ask will be done if you ask it in my name. And he says, greater things shall you do because I go to my Father. I'm exiting, the Holy Spirit is entering, and now you are going to step into my sandals as my body, and miraculous power and energy can flow from you by faith into other people's lives. Because how many of you noticed there's still some people around you need some grace? They need some power of God. That moves us into a wonderful position. That tomb standing empty is a symbol of the idea that he is risen from the dead. And there's been a transfer of authority and power to his church. Would you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Some of us are sitting there, and when we think about that, we're kind of like that character in an Indiana Jones movie or some other movie. That when we give, say, incredible power. We want to avoid that. And I suggest that you do avoid that, because that's usually somebody who's in the selfish game. But can you imagine what Jesus has entrusted to you? That you can pray by faith, connect to the grace of God, and people can experience the presence and the grace of God through little old you. Wow. What a wonderful calling. What a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, number 6. Can you believe it? We're almost done. Some of you saying, I do believe in miracles. I do believe in miracles. Because we know. I like this phrase. Because we know. Faith is coming to know something, not simply coming to believe something. We assert something. We know. The book of Hebrews tells us it's by faith that we understand. It's by faith that we know. It's by faith we have had revealed to us what God has been doing from the beginning. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. Hey, there's something to look forward to, isn't it? How many of you have already received your physical resurrection life? No, obviously, right? We feel the aches and pains and have sensed the change and the transformation. And all of us know that aging has been pursuing us and seemed to have caught us at a certain age. How many of you remember the age you were when age seemed to have caught up? Huh? Some of you felt like, caught up, he tackled me and put my face in the dirt. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Wow, that's something to look forward to. That presentation in a brand new physical body, standing before the God of the universe, seeing him with our eyes and worshiping him with our voices. And how many of you are looking forward to actually being able to sing on pitch? Huh? For some of us, that's a miracle. How many of you have that desire when you listen to certain musicians and go, boy, if I could just sing like that? I sit and listen to Phil Collins and say, man, I'd like to sing like that. Then I listen to Michael Bublé and said, you know, life would be grand if I could just sing just like Michael Bublé. And then I listen to Josh Groban. And my wife is wishing that I didn't try to hit those high notes that Josh is hitting or Michael Bublé's hitting. Sometimes you have to change to that low register. Oh, and you have to sing it because you can't go that high. But I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that new voice. Talk about making a joyful noise. It really will be joyful. Right now, with joy in our hearts, sometimes we just make a noise. But I'm looking for, one of the reasons I'm looking forward to heaven is all of the parts and harmonies and the beautiful dulcet tones. I think some of you are going to come up to me and go, listen to this, Pastor Doug, and just start ripping a line and say, that's better than anything I've ever heard on American Idol. That makes Mariah Carey look like the beginning of singers. Wow, the things, the parts, the harmonies, the melodies, when we're released into that place and we can actually express with art and all the things that we wish we do and all the limitations we used to have to be in. How many of you just getting a taste of heaven, a little excitement coming up in your heart? There's some things that God wants to be doing in you, and he's going to present us. He has risen because he's an example to us of our physical resurrection. It's very simple, because Jesus was raised from the dead, and I have placed my faith in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, here's my hope that just as he received a glorified body and could say, behold, I am alive forevermore. I am he who was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. I'm going to be able to say, hey, behold, I died, but now I'm never going to die again. Wow. Check out what God has done with this new creation. And that's going to be fun. That's going to be wonderful when we see that he's an example to us of our physical resurrection. And then finally, number 7, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice. How many of you are hungry for justice? What does it feel like to desire justice? Part of it is we hear that whiny little voice in us that we've been hearing since we were infants and toddlers. That's not fair. Part of it is that. But part of it is we have watched systems and administrations and governmental systems and other systems, and we have watched that as you're trying to manage people and care for problems, very often everything you don't intend to do happens. People fall through the cracks. They get run over. They get left by the wayside. They get left behind. And we've seen and we know those stories. It's happened to us. It's happened to people that we love. And every time we see that, there's a grief in our heart. And let me help you understand what you're connecting to. Hey, that's not fair. That's not right. That's not just. Let me tell you something. Jesus is also grieved by that very thing. And I'll tell you what he's looking forward to. When he is placed into the position as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the whole earth and every kingdom is his. Can let me just tell you what we had to look forward to? An earth where the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth like the waters cover the sea. No one will be able to say, God loves me? How can that be? Everybody upon the planet will know about God and his Son, will know about the love of God, who will know about the hope of a future and the true justice that God desires more than anyone. It's part of his nature. He has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. Why did Jesus become flesh? Part of the reason was to assume our sin, to be amongst us so we'd understand him and get him and we could handle him as John puts it. But here's the other thing, that he himself could judge the world and men as a man. There's this sense, this nagging sense in the back of our mind, in the depths of our heart that says, I don't know, can God really judge man? After all, he hasn't been one of us. You don't really understand a man's pain or his problems. As the old Indian proverb puts it, Native American proverb, you don't understand until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. When you put someone else's shoes on, when you get into their circumstances and situation, but I have got great news for you. Jesus knows what it is to feel your pain. He knows your rejection. He knows your sense of unfair. He knows the disparities that you're handling and dealing with. He knows your griefs. He's acquainted with your sorrows. He's walked more than a mile in your sandals. He knows what it's like to be on your footpath. He knows what it is like so that when he ascends to that throne and takes that scepter of righteousness and begins to judge the nations, there's going to be a cry in heaven that says, you have overcome and you are worthy. And you are justified when you judge. And every word from your mouth is fair and right and true. And you know how things go. And you rule with mercy and with justice mixed and blended together. Give the Lord a hand clap. Well, that's a great hope. He has given proof of this to everyone. That empty tomb is proof of something. All that injustice you see. All the societal injustice, the systemic injustices in religious, any other system, educational systems, you name the system, it's going to have injustice in it. Have you discovered that? If not, I don't want to completely drop you into disillusionment. But it's there. Why? Because people are human and imperfect. And even with their best of intentions, they can create a hell on earth. But let me tell you what God's intentions are, and that is to bring the heavens to the earth. And His kingdom in full display upon the earth. In this one who has been raised from the grave, you have proof by that empty tomb and a physical resurrection of Jesus. You've been given proof because God raised Him up from the dead. He is authorized and able to rule and judge the world. Amen. He's risen because God will have a man judge all of mankind. Let me tell you what that's going to be. Fair. Let me tell you what that's going to be. Merciful. Righteous. Just. And you know what's going to be so righteous and fair and just? That even Lucifer, the one who has been screaming foul and unfair since his fall, is going to bow his knee and with his mouth make the first truthful confession he's ever made. He is worthy. He is Lord. And when those words fall from his lips, they're going to be the only sincere words he's ever uttered. Because he has watched for thousands of years, and he's going to have to agree. Doesn't the scripture says he will cause even your enemies to be at peace with you? That is going to be an awesome moment. And if your life is hidden with Christ in God and Jesus is your Savior, what do you have to look forward to? That right there, my friend. You're going to be able to be there front and center and watch that happen. And the entire heavens are going to break out with worship. And our voices are going to be blended together to praise Him who is worthy. He is worthy. And we're going to look at each other and high-five each other and say, aren't you glad you believed in the open tomb? Aren't you glad you received this Jesus who was once dead but now is alive forevermore and is physical? You placed your faith in Him. Let me sum it up with this morning before we pray. God is not in the condemnation and killing business. Let me say that again. God is not in the condemnation and killing business. People believe that He's looking for an excuse to take people and judge them and place them off away from Him. But that's not what it's all about. He is seeking and saving. He's looking. He's revealing Himself. He is pleading with people. He is wooing people. He is drawing people. Why? Because He's not in the condemnation and killing business. The enemy has sold people on that idea. The enemy is in the condemnation and killing business. God is in the life and resurrection business. God is in the life and resurrection business. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I have a simple question for you this morning. On this Resurrection Sunday, if we can't pray this on this day, when can we pray this? Where in your life do you need a resurrection? Where in your life do you need the power of God to break through to you and transform and change a situation? Where do you need the grace of God to shore you up and give you strength to walk through something? And you say, if Jesus can go through death and live, and He could come out of that tomb, and I have testimony of the life of Jesus, then I can walk through something and I can live and I can hang on to my faith and I can persevere and I can endure until the end. I can go through this. Now, how many of you prefer getting around it? I've got great news for you. There are situations that God wants to get you around and out of. The psalmist said, He's taken my feet and lifted them up out of the miry clay. He's the great soul lifter. He's the great rescuer of the broken lambs. He's the one that can get and reach us off of the cliff and pull us up out of the craggy places. Wherever we find ourselves, wherever you find yourself today and you need life, let's all stand to our feet and lift our hearts to Him. You might want to lift up your hands to Him and say, on this Resurrection Sunday, Lord, search out my heart and my life. Lord, this is where I need Your life. This is where I need resurrection. This is where I need rescuing. I've got great news for you. If you've never accepted Jesus, the Christ of God, what does the Bible tell us? If you'll believe in your heart that God has raised him up from the dead, if you'll accept him, the Son of God, the one who has died in your place for your sin, and believe that God has raised him up from the dead. This is what seems to be somewhat of a formula, just a logical way of looking at it, that if you'll come to that place, I accept Jesus, and I believe that God has raised him up from the dead. He is my Savior. He's the one who died in my place. He's the Savior of the world, and he's my Savior. You can make that profession right now where you are. You could be driving a car listening to this, or right here in this room, or somewhere else on the globe. And you can open your heart to him and say, I believe. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the one who died for me. And I believe that God has raised you up physically from the grave. What can happen? You can be born again and you can walk into a salvation that God has for you. You may have already accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you feel like you're up to your knees in some miry clay. You're bogged down, and there's some places and some challenges, and you're just at the end of your rope in some places. Raise up your hands real high and say, Lord Jesus, you are the one who died and now you're alive forevermore. I need your power. I need your strength. I need your resurrection power to touch me. You can touch with healing. You can touch with grace and endurance. You can touch by getting me around a circumstance or a situation. Lord, I'm coming to you and I need your grace. I need your power. I need you to raise me up. And this is my simple confession. I believe that God has raised him from the dead. Therefore, I believe that God can raise me up from a circumstance that wants to take me down. And I receive that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. The Lord's grace and peace be upon you. And enjoy this day of resurrection today.